the Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio, the smarter way to make radio.
Hello, I'm Stuart Clarkson. Thanks for all your lovely comments about last week's podcast. This time, Roy Martin is back. David Lloyd is back with more fantastic radio moments at the end of the podcast, looking back at this week in audio history. And our special guest this week, he's just announced he's retiring from radio after 37 years. We'll talk to late night legend Graham Torrington on the podcast.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Mikasa.
But first, he's back from his little holiday. It's Radio Today's founder and editor, Roy Martin. Hello, Roy.
Hi, Stu. How are you?
I'm all right. I've been quite busy the last few weeks, as people might have heard if they heard last week's podcast. But you've been road tripping abroad, haven't you?
I did, yeah. I was taking a couple of weeks off just because it was summer. And then we got a last-minute invite to spend a week in Italy, of all places. So we literally got in the car and drove and chilled for a week. And it was great. And it feels like we haven't done this forever. It must have been ages ago, the last
I know,
week.
It does seem like a long time. And this little road trip, presumably there was a bit of radio listening, flicking around the dial while you were on the roads through Europe.
Oh, well, that's the interesting thing. And I was going to mention this in my ramble in eRadio this week. There was zero radio. There was literally nothing. I had no inclination to switch around the dial and see what I could pick up. I saw loads of road signs to listen to, you know, foreign radio stations for travel news and all that, is this side of the road. But yeah, there was nothing. I was there and it was all just a playlist, you know, pool playlist, and on the road it was pretty much silent because, you know, it was easier. And Apple Music and things like that. But yeah, it was just, I don't know whether I'm losing my geekness or not, because it could be that, or it could be that every single radio station in the world is online now, so you could listen to it at home if you wanted to. So going to a new place isn't really as exciting anymore to listen to the local one. So I don't know. It could be anything, but I'm glad to be back home and listening to the rain outside right now because it's wet.
And you mentioned Apple Music. What is going on at Apple then? So Apple Radio Hits and Apple Radio Country, or whatever they're calling them, it sounds like they've stolen Bauer's strategy plan.
Yeah, they've got Hits Radio and Country Hits Radio and One, or Radio One. So they've got a mixture of radio names. The official names are Apple Music One, Apple Music Hits, and Apple Music Country. So yeah, what will come next? Maybe they'll launch a jazz station. Maybe they'll launch, you know, classical music station. But they've got three fully presented, fully hosted radio stations now, and they've rebranded Beats One as Apple Music One. Not to be confused with Music One in Ireland and One Music, which is also in Ireland. So those guys are getting a bit of a rough time at the moment. But yeah, it's a new strategy. It's been 5 years, I think, since Beats One launched. And I've yet to read James Cridland's comments on it because he's always been a bit critical and cynical of Apple radio stations. So, yeah, I'd love to see what their plans are. And I was listening this morning, just before the podcast, to the radio stations, listening to Hits. And the guy on there was saying it's a whole new generation. It's a whole new start for Apple Music. And it's going to be something big. It's algorithm free and all that. So it was bigging up radio. So it looks like Apple is investing in radio once again.
But it's had this radio station for, as you say, 5 years now, Beats One. I listened probably the first week it was on and I heard Zane Lowe on it, but I haven't put it on ever since. I don't know how many, know many people who talk about listening to Beats One, really. There must be people listening to it, but
they claim a huge audience, but I don't know anybody that's even heard of it, let alone listens to it. So maybe now that it's branded as Apple, people will have at least heard of it and maybe give it a try. Maybe that was the problem.
Yeah, well, maybe they'll launch Apple Greatest Hits soon as well, playing all the old oldies. So Greatest Hits plans are continuing. It's only a couple of weeks away now before lots of radio stations around the UK are going to turn into Greatest Hits Radio. Simon Mayo has been signed by Greatest Hits. Obviously, he does stuff for Bauer at Scala, but a lot of the rumours were Simon Mayo might get the weekday breakfast show and stop doing Scala, but he's just going to do Sunday afternoons.
So far, yeah, and Simon Ross is great on breakfast, but everybody thinks that Simon Mayo would be the big name to attract people. Maybe his weekend album show is, you know, step one, because Bauer don't like to do things in one go, do they? They take baby steps. So maybe they're building up to putting mayo on breakfast. But if they're going to do it, they need to do it from launch, I would have thought, rather than, you know, establish Simon Ross as the breakfast show presenter and then change to Simon Mayo. So who knows? Do they know?
Possibly do you know? Not. I don't know. I've no idea. And some of the stations I'm hearing, things are changing as well. Branding's being taken down in station buildings. So they've taken away the mic cubes and the stickers off the windows and those kind of things. So the end is nigh for a lot of these brand names, and the greatest hits radio imaging on air is certainly taking over on some of the stations I've heard.
I know it's, you know, we shouldn't reminisce, but it is sad. And a lot of people are losing their jobs. And it feels different to when Global did it. Global did exactly the same thing. They sold their buildings, they rebranded everything, but it just seemed different somehow. I don't know if you get that feeling as well.
Yeah, a little bit. But they're different companies and they've got different strategies and different approaches to doing stuff. So, we will watch what happens. And as you say, it's probably going to evolve over the next couple of years, isn't it? Greatest Hits Radio. While we've been off as well, some fairly big schedule changes announced for Radio 1, which means Greg James is going to be on till 10:30 every day. And I'm guessing this is partly because listening habits have changed a lot because of the way that the world's changed this year, and people are not listening as early in the morning as they did, and there's a lot more kind of daytime listening going on. So having Greg being on 7 till 10:30 seems like that audience for his breakfast show, if you're still going to call it a breakfast show, might actually get bigger.
Yeah, and I love Radio 1 at the moment. They're doing so much good stuff, and this, what it seems like, whatever they do, the industry follows. So maybe other radio stations will follow suit. But yeah, putting Greg James on 7 till 10:30, genius move. I would have gone to 11 personally. But yeah, it is interesting, and they're moving with the times and reacting to what's happening. So it's all good stuff. And yeah, love to see how it pans out.
And Scott Mills gets a shorter show. He's only going to be doing 1 till 3:30. And everybody's saying, oh, is this the end of Scott Mills? And then it was announced he's going to cover for Steve Wright on Radio 2 next week. So everybody's saying, oh, is Scott Mills going to be leaving, going to be going somewhere else? It starts the rumours, doesn't it?
Well, you know, as when Chris Evans joined Radio 2 for Drive, you knew that he was Terry's replacement. So covering Steve Wright in the afternoon is clearly... It's got to be, hasn't it? It's got to be Scott Mills in the afternoon on Radio 2 before too long.
Mm-hmm. And another interesting change that relates to Scott Mills at Radio 2, Laura Busson, who was Laura Sayers, I think, wasn't she, when she was on the Scott Mills show with Laura's Diary. She was one of his production team. She's been working at Communicore and at Bauer, and she's now just been appointed as Radio 2's new head of commissioning. So you never know, you might get both Scott and Laura back together at Radio 2.
This was Laura as in One Night with Laura, wasn't it?
Yes, and yeah, and Laura's Diary with the excerpts that they used to read out on the show. So, but she's a top executive now, doing great things in commercial radio the last few years, and a great job for her at Radio 2. On the Radio 1 changes as well, I think this was something we expected, really, because of the sudden departure from Capital when she left. But Vic Hope finally announced at Radio 1.
Yeah, good move. Everybody's kind of moving and changing and... it's good when talent can be acquired and there's actual demand for good talent on radio stations. It's great when they all swap and change, so a good time.
And some very sad news about a producer at Capital, exec producer Joe Lyons, who worked on The Breakfast Show there, sadly died a week or two back. The Breakfast team, understandably shaken by that news, took some time off as a result, and lots of tributes to Joe from across the industry. And some more sad news this week with the news that James Whale has got cancer again. He battled it successfully a good number of years ago now. Of course, his wife had cancer and sadly died a few years ago. And James opening up on talk radio and talking about his health. So look that up online if you've not seen it. He was very bravely talking about it and talking about how he thought when he got the diagnosis and what he now thinks and what he's going to do and try and fight it. So a really nice uplifting bit of radio from James as to how he's going to fight against this cancer.
Yeah, very sad news, and we're sending him all our best wishes, of course.
And the Arias are moving back to May. So the Sony's always used to be, what, middle of May, and then we've had this weird few years where we didn't have a ceremony, and then we had them in the autumn for a couple of years, and then we had them in March this year. They're moving back to May again.
Let's hope that this is where they will stay, because it was always great going to London in the middle of May and the sunshine, and and going to an awards ceremony. So let's hope they can make some new routes back in their May position. Of course, they moved because they didn't want to be too close to the festival. And then there's the Commercial Radio Awards, which was pretty much the same time. So now there is no Commercial Radio Awards, and this is pretty much the only generic radio industry awards. They can pick and choose. So, yeah, May's a good time to do it.
Right. Well, I think that's almost it. We've got Graham Torrington coming up, who's worth a listen. Enjoy chatting to him. Enjoy your week, Roy, and I suppose we'll talk again in a week's time. It's going to be weird talking to you every week after so many weeks off.
Yeah, let's get back in the saddle and enjoy the new norm.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionic Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
This is the Radio Today programme and a big announcement this week concerning a name, if you've worked in radio the last 5 decades, you will no doubt recognise. It's Graham Torrington, and I'm pleased to say he's on the podcast with us this week. Hi, Graham.
Was it really 5 decades?
Well, 37 years, I think, is the official total, but spread over 5 decades.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a great career. I've loved every single second of my career. And I have to say, in this day and age, with the way media is not only in this country, but all over the world, it's amazing to think that I've done a daily show 5 days a week for 37 years. And that's quite an achievement in my book anyway.
Yeah. So if anybody's not seen the news is that Graham is retiring at the moment. And for the last 8 years or so, you've been doing The Late Show from BBC WM, and you're shared across a few BBC local radio stations. Tell us why you've decided to retire.
Okay, well, it's no secret that apart from radio, the second love of my life is Barcelona. I already have a second home there, which I'm fortunate to have. And it's been the plan for a while now that eventually that's where I want to be. But with the way of the world this year, it's given us all time to sit and think about our lives. And when all this rubbish is over that we all seem to be going through at the moment, is where we want to be and what we want to do. And there's been a number of things that have cropped up this year that has made me sit back and think about where I want to be when the pandemic is over. And the BBC have made a few announcements, and it gave me time to sit back and think, do I want to be part of it? Do I not want to be part of it? And listen, radio in general, media in general, has got to change to adapt for the future. And the BBC is part of that. And I'm fully aware that BBC Local Radio, which is what I'm part of at the moment, has to radically change to what's coming up over the next, not only in the next few months, but the next few years as well. And they made a few announcements, and I back their announcements. But do I want to be part of it? No, I've decided that after 37 years, I want to go off and do what I want to do.
And we'll talk more about some of the earlier days, but I think if you break your career up into chunks, you did kind of 12 years with BR&B and local radio in the Midlands, and 12 years with GWR and a network show, and then the last chapter, 12 years with BBC local radio. So it's not that, you know, you're fairly, it's not that you're new to this or anything. You've been around BBC local radio quite a little while, and you've seen a lot of changes going on in that time, I guess.
Yeah, lots of changes. And sometimes we like the changes, sometimes we don't like the changes. But listen, I'm part of BBC local radio at the moment. And it's really tough because we broadcasters, as I say, do have to make certain decisions, and we just work for the BBC, and you're either part of it or you're not part of it. And I have no axe to grind at all with the BBC. I really don't. And I really know that they're losing audience. They're losing audience drastically at the moment, and they have to change. They have to move on with it. And I feel that I've given my all to what I've done with the BBC. And it's time for a change. It's time for fresh ideas and new things. And that's not for me.
And obviously, a lot of your career, you've been on the air late at night in that time slot where you're very personal with your audience, and you know people have chosen to listen to you not just on in the background, and you have that connection with them. Certainly, the kind of time that you spent at GWR and the type of show you did there, and now the last 8 years on late nights across the Midlands, it's a special time of night. So having somebody in your region or your local area can be quite important to people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's only people who've ever worked on late shows know exactly the power of that. When I was at GWR, it was the kind of morning crew era. And I actually outlived most of the morning crews on each of those individual radio stations. And when I used to meet up with particular morning crews, they would always say to me, so why do people always phone us on the breakfast show and want to talk about Graham Torrington? And I said, well, unless you're on late night radio, you have no idea the power of late night radio. And because of what we've been through with the coronavirus over the last few months, that's really highlighted that for me again, because there's been a lot of nervous people who've been going to bed at night worried, totally worried about what's going to happen. And you're there, and sometimes people are very much alone and they need that reassuring voice late at night. So as they go to bed, feeling good about themselves. And as the presenter of a late night radio show, the sort of show that I do, at least, it's not a shouty late night show. It's a warm late show, and you're there as a friendly ear and somebody that when they go to sleep, the day's ended well.
And I will hold my hands up and say, I don't think I've heard you on BBC local radio in the Midlands, but I did used to listen to you quite a lot on the GWR late night love show. I'm guessing what you do now isn't kind of quite as saucy in sex and relationships as it was back in those days.
Listen, every show has its era. And I remember when I first started late night love for GWR, which literally started at GWR at the Watershed in Bristol. And Steve Orchard and Dirk Anthony took me on. And it started very much as a love songs and dedication program. And you know what? Things started to change. We started to ramp things up a bit, and we took calls. It was that era in radio where you could be a little bit more saucy, you could be a little bit more risque. And that's what we did. And late night love just became this huge phenomenon. It really did. And I have to tell you now, Stuart, there's not a day that goes by today, and I haven't done that show for 15 years, but there's not a day that goes by now that somebody doesn't mention that radio show to me. So that gives you an idea the power of radio that we were doing back then. And I think when we were doing it, we didn't I personally didn't think that it was as powerful as it was. It's only since then that I've realized that. And you've got to remember, this is pre-social media, before any of that was going on at all. One of the beauties of it was that we were across the country, although we used to get slagged off from it big time from the industry, that we were networking. How dare you network? And look, this is what's happening everywhere now in the big brands on commercial radio, but we got slated for it. But the one thing was that we could unite the country. So if somebody left school in Wolverhampton and they went to university in Essex, they left home and I was still on their local radio station. And I used to be massive in universities all over the country. And those people that were in university are now parents and still listen to me and tell me about growing up with me, being away in university, and now listening to me when they have their own children. That's amazing.
Yeah, and I suppose that was probably the era as well where the networking was a bit sly, in that you were pretending to be on a local radio station and pretending to be on Essex FM and GWR and Hereward and all the rest of them, rather than being honest about it being a network like the show that you do now, I guess.
Listen, we never said that we were not there. I never ever said I'm sat in Essex, I'm sat in Bristol, I'm sat in Wolverhampton. We never said that. I never had to say it. The buttons used to do it. I never did any of that at all.
Yeah, it was a different era, as you say. And I mean, pre that, obviously you'd done some late night stuff before you went to GWR, but you'd also done breakfast and daytimes and stuff at BRNB.
Yeah, my very first pay job. Well, first of all, hospital radio, Samwell Hospital Radio. That's where I began, and I think very quickly I realised that was really the thing I wanted to do. I got a job. My very first job at BRNB was carting of ads in the traffic department. But Mike Owen, was the program patrol in those days, and he knew I really wanted to be on air. And of course, he said, get upstairs and get yourself trained up in the studio, and when Christmas comes along, of course, all the stars want to be off. So I've worked many Christmases and New Year's Eve when all the big stars wanted to be off. So that's where I cut my teeth, really, on radio. And then suddenly there's a gap that comes along and you're on air. And I did most of the shows there. One great thing for me was being on the traffic flying eye on the Les Ross Breakfast Show. That was an amazing time in my life, not only just to be flying across my own city, the city of Birmingham, and reporting from the traffic aeroplane, but being on air with a legend like Les Ross. And I did most of the shows there, but it was a show that we used to, and the horrendous name of a radio show called Romantica that I used to be on. And I inherited this program, and the girl who used to do it before, her name was Charlie Neal, and she used to do all this soppy poetry, and I thought, I don't want to do all this poetry stuff. So we started to get a little bit more raunchy, and that's really where my late night radio began. And because of that, when GWR were looking to do a late show, Steve Orchard gave me a call and said, you're the man that we want on our late show. And so began Late Night Love.
And I'm guessing there are lots of stories from things that happened both on the air and off the air with callers and people ringing in for that show.
Yeah, absolutely. I talk about the universities, and there was always this big game where the university students would be, you know, sat in there, wherever they'd be sat, all around having a drink, and let's phone up and wind up Graham and see if we can get some swear words on air, which was fine. It was all part of it as well. It was some fun. But also, we were talking about stuff that they were involved in. And it's amazing that although Late Night Love was very much seen as a female target audience, so many young lads who were discovering things, shall we say, about their, not only their sexuality, but also things that to do with sex and relationships in life, would quietly send me messages and ask me about all sorts of things. So, yeah, they were learning all sorts of stuff. And as I say, this was all before social media. So it was right at that time.
And of course, now, if you were doing that same show now, there'd be so much more safeguarding stuff. There'd be so much more about, you know, having professional help there and agony aunts, but I guess a lot of the time it was just you, or maybe even you and a producer.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was literally, that was it. There was a producer answering the phone, and Graham, we've got a caller from Swindon who wants to talk about herpes. That's what we did.
And you suddenly became an expert in all these topics.
I suddenly became an expert in lots of things to do with sex and relationships, believe you me. But the big things for me that stick in my mind from, there was the Late Night Love days with the sauciness of, if you like, but the big moments in life that come along every now and then that you're never quite prepared for until they happen. I'm talking about things like 9/11, 7/7, the death of Diana. These are big moments, and because you are a listener's friend, they tune into you and they expect you to be knowledgeable about it, and also be open to them calling in and sharing the hurt, the grief, the trauma of these big events.
If you've got advice for people coming into radio now, obviously the world is different and radio is different, is there a place for people like you on the air who can do that kind of compassionate radio and that late night discussion on the fly, a lot of it without scripting? You know, is that format still something that might be around in the future, do you think?
I'd like to think so. I think when at least Global took over GCAP, and you know, the Heart Network was rolled out, they made it very definite that this was a music and entertainment channel. Although they've actually started to put back in, I see now, a bit of a love and relationship show. So, you know, everything has its day and everything might come back as well. So, yes, I'd like to think so. For me, a medium, especially nighttime radio, is that closeness. It is the end of the day. And I think if shows like mine aren't around, I think that's going to be a shame. Mm.
And tell about the reaction to this news this week. So, obviously, you announced it Tuesday. Quite a lot of people getting in touch with you.
Yeah, very humbling, I have to say. And once again, when you're in the middle of something like the huge thing that Late Night Love was, you don't quite realise what people think of you and the reaction you're going to get from people. When I decided what I was going to do, I talked it over with the BBC and it was announced. And yeah, it was like, well, I'm going to be off. But some really, really lovely things have come through. I mean, my phone has not stopped for 2 days, believe you me, it really hasn't. And it's quite humbling to hear some of the things that people are saying. The one thing that I find more than anything is that people who are now in radio, and I don't want to come over big-headed about this because that's not what I'm feeling at all, but they've said to me they used to listen to me on the radio and I've been an inspiration to get them into radio. And I think that's lovely because that's how I started. I started listening to, you know, Luxembourg, the great 208, and listening to, you know, the great Bob Stewart and people like that. And I thought, I want to do that. And they gave me inspiration to get into radio. And if I'm passing that on today, now, to others, I just think I'm passing on the baton, and how lovely is that?
Absolutely. Well, we wish you all the best in your retirement, and hopefully it's not the last we'll hear of you, and you might come back and do a bit of radio at some point from Spain, maybe.
Listen, never say never. That's all I'm going to say. But that's not the plan. I don't want people to suddenly think, you know, I'm going to pop up here, there and everywhere. But listen, if you're a programme director at the moment and you're looking for a particular late show presenter, you never know.
Good to chat to you, Graham. Thank you for talking to Radio Today.
Thank you, Stuart.
That's Graham Torrington talking to Radio Today. And just before David Lloyd's Radio Moments, a reminder to try out Clean Feed. Lots of people have been trying it out over their summer holidays for their OBs or hosting their show from home. Clean Feed is designed for radio people and for podcasters as well. You can get a guest onto your podcast in great quality. It's simple to use, just using a browser. And as I say, great quality. You can even record within the browser as well. There is a free version. Clean Feed won't cost you anything to get started. You can pay for some pro upgrades if you like, and it'll only take you a minute or two to get going and doing your first live interview or recording or hosting your show from home. You can find out more about it at cleanfeed.net.
Radio Moments.
Radio 2 used to boast both FM and AM frequencies, but that all changed 30 years ago this week when it gave up its AM.
Hello, this is David Allen, and if you're wondering where your regular programme of early morning music has got to, well, we're on FM only from now on, because from August the 27th, this medium wave frequency will be broadcasting a new sport and education channel, Radio 5. So if you want to join me and all the other Radio 2 listeners, tune across now to FM, where you'll find us between 88 and 91. By the way, don't worry if your set says VHF or even U on the waveband switch, because they all mean the same thing. Now, if you don't happen to have FM or VHF on your set, then I'm afraid it does mean you'll need a new radio. These aren't too expensive, starting at around £10, but before you buy one, do make sure you listen to it in the shop. Our telephone helpline is open from 8 o'clock this morning for the cost of a local call. Just ring 0345 010 313 to talk to one of our experts.
Should we call that number? What is it? 0345 10313. Hello? What is everybody doing?
Flick to the FM waveband.
Okay.
And then you twiddle the dial all the way to the left, past the commercials.
Quality products at sensational price.
Past Radio 4.
Particular one, it's a fungus called Puccinia malvacearum. It affects hollyhocks.
Very
malvas,
nice.
Tree mallow.
On to Radio 3. Stone me. And good old Radio 2. Oops,
the end of a very warm Radio 2 on AM, at least this week in 1990. I calculate it left AM after 35 years of FM. And if it leaves FM after 35 years of DAB, that's in 10 years' time today. Dottie left One Extra's breakfast show a couple of weeks ago.
I'm going to try and get through this. I'm going to try. All right. Guys, thank you, man.
And her station celebrates its 18th anniversary this week, and it very nearly wasn't on DAB.
I started in January on an online proposition, but then we stopped that in February and was asked to write a case for a full radio station. So I did that from February till about May, June.
September 2001. The Government Department for Media says yes to a digital black music station.
When we initially got the go-ahead, it was a relief as well as a joy, because although there's part of you which always feels if you're going to get it, there's also a bit which says they could say no. being the BBC, you sometimes do think that people are just going to do that to make a point. They're going to say no. But I think we definitely had a strong case. And I think we proved that we were going to do something completely different than everyone else.
We're here! I'm going to say welcome to One Extra, the new black music from the BBC. It's here! Oh my gosh, it's here!
It's myself, Treble T, alongside my compadre Mike Anthony from The Rampage and the gorgeous, talented Casey, kicking off the station in a fine style.
And what a way to launch Dub Plate Pressure. That's so hot off the press, it's still smoking.
It's blinging blood.
There's fire coming off the vinyl. Extra Dangerous, Rodney P, skits featuring Roots Manoeuvre, Beverly Knights and Gemma Fox, baby.
That was our very first special Dub Plate for One Extra. We've got more coming up from Demlock 57 Dynasty. We've got One Extra DJ interview. Some of the hottest DJs around the country are on One Extra. We'll be interviewing those throughout the show today, including... We have
One Extra coming at you this week in 2002 for the first time. Here's one anniversary we have to mention every year. This week in 1967, the offshore pirate stations had all closed down under the new law, apart from the one that had been the first, which carried on in rebellious and now illegal spirit.
Rolling Stones on Radio Caroline, on your radio station, on the radio station that loves you. 40 minutes now after midnight, under my thumb.
Under your thumb.
It's a little bit podgy, but we've got a big thumb and we've got it there.
How you feeling?
Beautiful.
Happy.
Fantastic. It's Caroline.
We know the Pals that B will be listening in tonight. Robbie Dale and Johnny Walker will be returning to England in the not-too-distant future, returning to England in triumph. To save you any troubles, we shall let you know exactly what flight we'll be on, what time we shall arrive, and what airport we shall arrive at. So we might see you there in the future.
They might even lay on a taxi.
They'll put the red carpet out. They'll put the red carpet out. How many records have we played?
We've played one, two, three.
Three records. Three
fantastic.
Records.
Fantastic, yes.
And we're now criminals. That's beautiful.
We are criminals. Three records.
You couldn't do it as quick as
I
that.
I tell you what, they're going to go around and arrest the Beatles tomorrow.
Anyway, I thought of a fabulous idea, Rob.
What's that?
Everybody's very happy tonight.
Have another drink. Yeah.
It's about, 60 million, 70 million. Half the world is listening to Radio Caroline tonight. Let us all have a good old-fashioned twist, right?
How about a dance?
Yeah.
Would you cut a dog?
I'd love to.
Caroline continues illegally with Johnny Walker after the new offshore pirate law this week 53 years ago. In 1977, if you were on air this week, here's the announcement you would have made.
That song probably hurts more than any. The green, green grass of home, which Elvis Presley will soon meet. Elvis Presley is dead. Radio Luxembourg will live on. And I am Tony Prince, and I have an immense feeling of loss tonight. The telephone is ringing. I'm not going to put it on the air at the moment because I have to get over these deep feelings of loss that I'm feeling tonight. This is a historic moment in pop music. Elvis Presley died in Memphis, Tennessee today at the age of 42. We have very little information, but the Daily Mirror will keep us informed as we get on with the Elvis music we're playing for you tonight. I'll be opening up the telephone line later on for anyone who wants to express their feelings of Elvis's death. What can I say? There isn't really a lot to say. We'll continue playing the commercials on Luxembourg because we are a commercial radio station. And we'll be here forever. But Elvis, after 42 years of dedication to music, he's gone. Finished.
Tony Prince on Radio Luxembourg this week, 47 years ago. So with Simon Bates quitting Classic FM for Smooth 10 years ago.
I'm indebted to David Lloyd, who knows much more about radio than I do.
The death of deep voiceover Bill Mitchell 23 years ago.
Keith Screws. No, that's not right.
Showtime Radio winning the sole national commercial FM license 19 years ago.
High on a hill was a lonely goat herd.
But it couldn't find the cash, so the license was seized by Classic. The death of Alan Dell, the second ever chart presenter, 64 years ago.
This record by Gale Warning and the Weathermen of Met Rock.
And Caroline returning 37 years ago.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Radio Caroline on 319 metres, 963 kilohertz. I'm Tom, and for the next hour, I'd like to take you on a couple of musical journeys through the past two decades.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thank you, David and Roy Martin, and my main guest this week, Graham Torrington. Join us next time for more radio industry stuff.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Macasso.